So we are going to conclude our study in 3 John this morning. Remember, there are four named characters in this letter. There is, number one, the elder in verse 1. That is the Apostle John who writes this letter. There is, secondly, Gaius, also in verse 1, a faithful Christian to whom this letter is addressed. It's a personal letter. And thirdly, the third character is Diotrephes in verse 9. We bumped into him 2 weeks ago, but he was a leader at Gaius's church, but rejected apostolic instruction and refused to allow his church members to practice hospitality. And then there's a fourth character, that's Demetrius in verse 12, whom we will meet today. Just as this letter opens with some very encouraging words for Gaius in verses 2 through 4, it now closes with several uplifting ideas. In verses 5 to 8, John commends Gaius. He commends him for his faithfulness in his ministry of giving hospitality to strangers, to Christians, even when they were strangers. And then in verses 9 to 10, John condemns Diotrephes. He commends Gaius, but he condemns Diotrephes, who stands opposed to such ministries as hospitality. Since Gaius was facing pressure from this evil church leader to either compromise or even quit entirely, the apostle admonishes Gaius to persevere in doing good. Look at verse 11. Verse 11 says, "Beloved, do not imitate what is evil, but what is good. The one who does good is of God. The one who does evil has not seen God." So beware of Diotrephes. He's a bad example. Do not follow him. On the other hand, there's a man I want you to know. His name is Demetrius. He's a very good example. Imitate him. And my friends, there will always be a Diotrephes standing in your way, whether it's another human being or Satan himself. There's going to be a Diotrephes. But what we really need is to seek out and to find a Demetrius. Why is that necessary? So that we as a Christian can be inspired and encouraged to press on in the faith. That's what we're going to see here today, hopefully. So in 3 John, verses 12 to 14, or perhaps 15, depending upon your version, some of the versions divide 14 into 2, but we shall see two sources of encouragement for Gaius. And may we be encouraged as God gives us opportunity to connect with a godly mentor whose Christian walk is worthy of our imitation, or as God gives us opportunity to meet up with Christian friends with whom we can fellowship and associate. Today's lesson is be inspired or be encouraged by other Christians, by other believers in the Lord. So let's see how this goes here. The first encouragement is Demetrius. He is an example to imitate. Look at verse 12. Demetrius has received a good testimony from everyone and from the truth itself. And we also bear witness, and you know that our witness is true. So Demetrius has a very good reputation among other Christians. In fact, many good things have been said about him. But let me just say, we know very little about this guy, other than what's included in this verse. Demetrius, that was a common name in the first century. It actually meant belonging to Demeter, which is the goddess of agriculture. But what that indicates, what that tells us is he was a Greek. He was a Gentile. He's not a Jew. But he's mentioned here because he delivered this letter to Gaius. It seems like he's the one that actually brought this letter from the Apostle John and handed it to Gaius. So it was necessary for John to commend him to Gaius and the church, just like Paul did when Phoebe delivered the letter that Paul wrote to the Romans. In Romans 16:1, Paul says, "I commend to you our sister Phoebe, who is a servant," literally a deaconess, "of the church which is in Cenchrea, that you receive her in the Lord in a manner worthy of the saints, and that you help her in whatever matter she may have need of you. For she herself has also been a helper of many, and of myself as well." And the way that she helped Paul the most was to bring the letter that he wrote to the Romans. She delivered it. Well, Demetrius did that, and he may also have been one of these traveling missionaries or preachers. Either way, he was a stranger coming to Gaius in need of housing, and that's Gaius' specialty, right? But with this endorsement, John knows Gaius will provide for him. And the thing that we read about him here in verse 12 is that he has received a good testimony. Now, this Greek word, matureo, means literally to be well spoken of. It has the idea of being approved, okay? And what's interesting, it's in the perfect tense here. He has been well spoken of and still is. Past that, continuing result. Well, who has vouched for Demetrius? He has three sources of approval. And the first one is, I think, a rather amazing statement. He is well spoken of by everyone. Every Christian who knew Demetrius speaks positively about him. That by itself says a lot, doesn't it? Now, he's found approval from all. One writer said, "Few are well spoken of by all." Right? That's a rarity. Do people only have good things to say about you? You know, do I fit this description? You know, one Bible character that came to mind in preparing for this was Daniel, the Old Testament character, who was totally above reproach outwardly. And in if you remember, in Daniel chapter 6, it says that the commissioners and satraps began trying to find a ground of accusation against Daniel in regard to government affairs, but they could find no ground of accusation or evidence of corruption, inasmuch as he was faithful and no negligence or corruption was to be found in him. Wouldn't it be great to find a politician like that nowadays? But anyway, that's what Demetrius was. They only say good things about him. They can't say anything bad. So he's well spoken of by everyone. And secondly, he is well spoken of by the truth. From the truth itself, he has received a good testimony. Well, what does that mean? When you measured his life by the standard of God's word, he looked the part. He fit the bill. You look at the Bible, then you look at Demetrius, and they match. Can that be said about you? Can that be said about me? His behavior harmonized with the truth itself. The Bible bore testimony to the uprightness of his character. You know what that means? Demetrius was approved by God because he met God's word. You know, the same word is used in Hebrews 11:2 for be well spoken of. Hebrews 11:2, "For by it," meaning faith, "for by faith the men of old gained approval." That word approval is this same Greek word, matureo. And you could actually read it like this: "For by faith the men of old were well spoken of by God and by other people." Is your behavior approved by God? You know, is your life in harmony with Scripture? If it is, now listen, if your life is in harmony with God's word, you will enjoy the trust of many people. People will trust you. They'll believe you. The third source of approval is that he is well spoken of by the elder. Because John goes on to say in verse 12, not only from the truth itself, but we also bear witness. We testify ourselves. This is the second time the verb testify appears. This time it's in the present tense. So we continue to speak well of him, is what John is saying. And the we, of course, includes John himself, but also his associates. They all endorse Demetrius. They saw in him a man walking in the truth like Gaius. Remember what we saw in verses 3 and 4? John says to Gaius, verse 3, "For I was very glad when brethren came and bore witness to your truth, that is, how you are walking in truth. I have no greater joy than this, to hear of my children walking in the truth." So just like you, Gaius, Demetrius is walking in the truth, bearing the fruit of the Spirit, living the Christian life of love. He's a model to follow. He's a good example. I like what one guy wrote. He said, quote, "His character stood the test of many people." You know, does my character stand the test of many? Or does it, are you quick to find the flaws, you know? Anyway, if we apply God's word to our lives consistently, we will have credibility before God and before other people. May that be the case. And the book of Proverbs says, in Proverbs 22, verse 1, "A good name is to be more desired than great wealth. Favor is better than silver or gold." You know, what kind of a reputation do you have? But now let me, I think I put on your notes, I did, a few comments on reputation versus character. Three statements that I have, and I'll help you fill in the blank here. But the first statement is this: reputation is what others believe us to be. Our character is what we really are. Because sometimes you might have a good, person might have a good reputation externally, but when you really find out what their character is about, it's flawed, right? Our character is what we really are when nobody else is looking, right? Here's the second statement on reputation versus character. Some people are more concerned about their reputation than what they are about their character. In other words, they're all worried about, what do people think of me? And that can sometimes be a detriment to you. Because, as this goes on, this same statement, however, a man's reputation will ultimately take a beating if his character is not there. In other words, a flawed character, moral character, is bound to damage a good reputation someday when it comes out. And one more statement about reputation and character. A powerful testimony takes time. In fact, years to develop. Demetrius was probably a very mature Christian. He was known by a lot of people, and they all had good things to say, so he did a lot of growing and was very mature. But I tell you, a powerful testimony coming from a godly character which has built up a lasting reputation, that just takes years. It's not going to happen overnight. So we've got to be faithful, right, in the daily mundane things, and that's how a powerful testimony can grow. So one more thing out of verse 12, Gaius knows that these men are being honest. Let me read verse 12 again. "Demetrius has received a good testimony from everyone and from the truth itself, and we also bear witness, and you know that our witness is true. So John, right here, reminds Gaius, you know that our witness is true. For the third time, the word witness or testimony appears in verse 12. So it's the key word in this final section. Our witness, which is actually a noun here, is the testimony of both the elder, John the Apostle, and his co-workers at the church at Ephesus. That's where John was pastoring, from which he wrote this letter. Now, here's what's interesting. The verb know, again, is perfect tense. And it needs to be understood like this. You have known and are still knowing that we are speaking the truth. Why is that important in this letter? John, the apostle, can be trusted over and above the false accusations being spouted out by Diotrephes. Remember what we saw in verse 9. Let's back up to verse 9 for a minute. John says, I wrote something to the church, but Diotrephes, who loves to be first among them, does not accept what we say. For this reason, if I come, I will call attention to his deeds, which he does, unjustly accusing us with wicked words. So there's two things there that I want to point out. Number one, Diotrephes rejected what the Apostle John had to say. That's verse 9. And he spread false accusations about John. That's verse 10. So now Gaius had to decide, do I believe Diotrephes and his accusations against John? Or do I believe the Apostle John and his associates? That's what's going on here when John says, you know that our witness is true, and you also know that Diotrephes' testimony about us is false. That's what's being implied in this whole thing. And you know, John has a way of trying to reaffirm to his readers that he's telling the truth. He did this in his gospel. So it's almost like a stylistic thing that John does. In John 19:35, this is the Gospel of John, John writes, he who has seen has borne witness, meaning himself, and his witness is true, and he knows that he is telling the truth so that you may also believe. I want you to believe the truth. And I've been totally honest with you in all that I've said, right? And he repeats that idea at the end of his gospel in John 21:24. This is the disciple who bears witness of these things and wrote these things, and we know that his witness is true. And that's how he ends 3 John. I mean, you know that what we're saying is true. And my friends, we have to make the same decision that Gaius had to make. Do I believe what men are saying out there about religious things, or do I believe what God is saying in his word? Am I going to believe an epistle like 3 John, or am I going to believe a science textbook or a political statement or, you know, whatever? Am I going to put God's word over and above man's word or not? All scripture is true. Psalm 119, verse 160, the sum of thy word is truth. You add it all you get is true, you know, truth. And so listen, we know that God's testimony is true. You know that our testimony, God's testimony, the prophet's testimony, the apostle's testimony, it's all true. Demetrius had a strong backing from multiple witnesses. I hope you do too. He stands in stark contrast to Diotrephes, who is not endorsed by the same three witnesses mentioned here. He's not endorsed by everyone. He's not measuring up to the truth. And the Apostle John and his colleagues are not standing up for Diotrephes. Gaius, who are you going to side with? My friends, we need to find a believer like Demetrius, one we can imitate, who is well spoken of by many Christians. Why? So we can be encouraged in our own walk with the Lord. We all need a Demetrius. So listen, may you be the Demetrius that others need. Okay? That's the calling for today. The second source of encouragement is some very commendable friends. Look at verse 13. John says, I had many things to write to you, but I am not willing to write them to you with pen and ink. So the first commendable friend is John the Apostle, John himself. He's investing time in communicating with Gaius. He took time to write this letter. Even though John could have written a lot more, he has more to say, but he doesn't want to do it in writing. Not in writing. I was having more to write to you. Much more, many more things. But his desire was not to do so with ink and pen, literally, black and reed, meaning the quill of a feather, reed, okay? One writer said, we need to be careful about flat statements in a letter or a text. People cannot read our tone and cannot understand the full context of our issue without personal contact. You found that to be true? You text something to somebody and all of a sudden it's all, you know, I forgot I had cap locks on and now I'm yelling at you and I didn't even... So anyway, instead of writing more, John desires to come and meet Gaius in person. And in verse 14, he says, but I hope to see you shortly and we will speak face to face. I hope to see you shortly. That could be translated immediately. There's a sense of urgency in this statement and also explains why this letter is so short. John wanted to get together with Gaius for that face-to-face conversation, and so he's going to put the pen down and go. Sometimes we just need to put the phone down and go, you know. John already announced his intention to come in verse 10. He says, for this reason, if I come, because I really want to and I need to confront Diotrephes. But it sounds also a lot like the end of 2 John. Just turn back to 2 John and look at verse 12. Remember how he ends this to the chosen lady. In verse 12 of 2 John, having many things to write to you, I do not want to do so with paper and ink, but I hope to come to you and speak face to face that your joy may be made full. And implied that my joy would be made complete too, you see. So this in-person, face-to-face communication is the most effective kind there is. The fulfillment of joy from such a visit mentioned in 2 John 12 is to be assumed here as well. John is going to be delighted to see Gaius and vice versa. John was a dear friend to Gaius. Remember, he's called him beloved four times in this short letter. He longed to fellowship with his dearly beloved brother. Now, John wasn't the only one, though, that could encourage Gaius. He had various mutual friends as well. So this is either the rest of verse 14 or verse 15, depending upon your version. But it says, peace be to you. The friends greet you. Greet the friends by name. That is, the mutual friends in both churches, Gaius' church, John's church. And the first thing that happens here in this benediction, John himself wishes peace to Gaius. The concluding benediction, wishing peace to someone was common to end a letter. Shalom is the Hebrew word, meaning welfare and good health. Peace, eirene in the Greek, harmony, tranquility. But John is sending his blessing of peace in the sense of Christian peace. But now listen, can Gaius really have peace in the face of this problem with Diotrephes? because it sounds more like war than peace. Well, you know what? Gaius can have inner true peace because Jesus promised to give it. And can we have peace right now in the midst of all the turmoil in our country right now, all this anarchy, an election that's cantankerous, a COVID plague? Can we have peace? And the answer is yes, because look what Jesus says. John 14:27. Peace I leave with you. Do you believe it? My peace I give to you. Yeah, the peace that Jesus owns. Not as the world gives, because that's not lasting, is it? The world has a peace treaty for about 10 seconds and then is back to war. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful. You have my peace. That's Jesus. And he goes on also in that same gospel, John 16:33. These things I have spoken to you. Is it important for you to read his word? I have spoken to you. Why? That in me you may have peace. In Christ is where you're going to find it. In the world you have what? Peace? No, you have tribulation. But take courage. I have overcome the world and I can grant you true peace. You see? Well, would you like to have this peace? How do you obtain it? We acquire this kind of peace from Jesus the moment we get saved. Really? Romans 5:1. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have what? Peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That old animosity between me and God is gone. I'm at peace with God now. You see? That happens at salvation. And then in Philippians 4:7, and the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, shall guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Do you need that peace? Do you have it? I can be at peace in the midst of great turmoil. How does that happen? It surpasses my comprehension, but it's God at work in you. And so how can I maintain this peace in my life? Paul writes in Philippians 4:9, the things that you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things. Do it. Why? And the God of peace shall be with you. Listen, if the God of peace is with you, the peace of God is there also. Right? So Gaius, you have found the greatest peace of all time in Jesus Christ your Lord. Peace to you. And then John's friends send their greetings to Gaius. John writes, the friends greet you, the members of John's church. All who are with John are friendly towards Gaius as well. He has a blessed support group in the believers at a sister church. Do you feel the blessings of a sister church down in Lamoille Valley that can support us here? And then Gaius's friends are to be greeted. So greet the friends by name, literally, according to name. And the ESV says, greet the friends, every one of them. So each one individually. Gaius, say hi to all of my friends who are with you in your church. This implies that John desired this personal letter, 3 John, to be read to the entire church family. Say hi to everybody and make sure they hear this letter. Because Diotrephes has suppressed or badmouthed the first letter John sent. But he knows, John knows that Gaius will share this letter with those there. Are you thankful that we still have this epistle today? Aren't we amazed that God would preserve this simple letter with tremendous truth for our benefit? So we need to draw encouragement from a godly role model, from faithful Christian friends. And let me end with two more statements. First, a verse, Proverbs 18:24. A man of many friends comes to ruin. If you have too many friends that come from all directions and walks of life, watch out. Because bad company corrupts good morals, right? However, there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. You know who that is? The born-again, genuine Christian who loves the Lord and will bend over backwards for you in sacrifice. That's the genuine friend, a born-again Christian. So, my friends, let's find that friend and get close and be encouraged by other Christians. What an amazing letter, huh? And may we look up to Gaius, may we look up to Diotrephes, and may we stand fast on the truth of God's word. Lord, I thank you for your word to us in this precious epistle. May we just live for you and help us with other believers, Lord, to see how to do that. So influence us for good and bless us abundantly. In Jesus' name.